Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Oh, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Declaration. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Father, we thank you that you have created the most incredible paradox of all time, that you use blood to wash us white as snow. Father, we do live in a day and age where it seems people get in so much trouble for the words they say. And that some things would be considered no longer politically correct or good to say. And people have tried to stamp out this talk of the blood for years, even in the church world. But Father, the reality is, we boldly proclaim here today that it is only the blood of Jesus that brings salvation. And so we thank you for the sweet, precious blood of Jesus. And Father, our prayer is that we could be washed white as snow, not because we deserve it, not because we earn it, and not that we could even work for it, but simply because of the magnificent saving grace of the blood of Jesus. So thank you for new life. Lord, if there's one person here or listening on the radio, participating online, who has not experienced that new life in you, my prayer is that today could be their day. That they'll know that heaven and earth has been orchestrated and moved to bring them to the place to hear this today, that they might receive you. God, please move among us now as we open your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 6 here in the room, or if those participating online, Luke chapter 6. This is week five of our message series on Wiki Faith. The idea of the word wiki is a Hawaiian word. It means fast or many. It's the idea that many of us together are to make disciples. It's not just one person or an expert doing it. It's all of us. And so over these past few weeks, we've had a statement that we've learned each week. The first week was disciples are followers of Jesus. The next week was disciples fish for men. The following week, disciples are friends of sinners. And then last week, disciples live in fellowship with Jesus and with others. And today, we want to unpack the next step in the discipleship model, which is disciples are founded on God's word. As you turn to Luke chapter 6, let me share with you really quick an illustration that I recently read about one particular image. Pastor Steve Morrell talked about an advertisement he saw. He was walking through an airport and saw a bank advertisement. It was a large poster of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And the simple tagline underneath that said this: good facade, bad foundation. Now, if there has ever been a more accurate image or phrase that could be used to describe the failure of some believers to be a true disciple, it's that idea: good facade, bad foundation. Now, that's not everyone, but there are some that get mixed up in the wrong idea of what it means to really be a disciple and follow the things of Jesus. So I want to unpack that idea for a moment. Now, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, the image you see behind me, the construction of this bell tower began over 850 years ago in 1173, just right at 850 years, 1173 AD. But due to the underground water table and the amount of water that's in the area, they were only able to dig a foundation 10 feet deep. And you need to understand, they intended to make it seven stories plus a stairwell up to the eighth. So eight-story stone structure was not going to be supported by 10 feet of foundation. So by the time they reached the second level, it was already leaning a decent amount. And so they tried to offset by building up the columns and the pillars on the opposite side an inch taller. Well, for time's sake, I'll give you the brief history. You can read it for yourself online. It's well documented that basically over the course of 200 years, multiple architects, multiple builders tried to fix the problem. As it would grow a little bit and they would go up a little higher, they would try to offset this way, then that way, and this way, until basically 200 years later, when you have the spiral staircase on the eighth level, the tower was leaning almost 5 feet off of center at that point. There was nothing that could be done to fix it at that point, at least not in the 1100s. So the lean grew worse over time, and over the last 850 years, there have been times that there has been a great amount of work to fix it, and other times they just closed it and wouldn't let anyone go in. Other times they would open it up. Now, 850 years later, if you travel there, if COVID were not an issue and you were traveling and you were there, you can still now go inside the bell tower again. It's recently opened again. And it is at the very top, 16 feet off center. That's quite a lean. Some of you in this room have been there. And what's amazing is that it has become the most world-renowned monument to failure. And that's really what it is. You might not have thought about it in that way, but this image, it's a monument to failure. You say, what do you mean, Chris? Would any of you have any desire to go see the Straight Tower of Pisa? It's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I mean, it's what attracts people. It's what gets them there. The facade became very important, that 200 years of building in the 1,000 years ago almost. But the foundation was not considered to be of utmost importance. Now, I have a number of friends who have built houses over the years, and people get excited when they're building a house. It's a lot of work. A lot of you have done it at some point or another. And I've had a number of friends who have said, Chris, you need to come by and look at the outside. Look at the progress. And it is awesome to go and see how things are built up quickly and then what takes a long time to do and all those things. But I've never had a single friend say to me, Chris, you have got to come see our foundation. Nobody says that. Why? It's hidden. It's not what's in view. It's not what people really want to see or be about. But the reality is that foundation matters more than anything else you will do to that home. The unseen is most important. If you want a house that will last, you want a building that will last, it starts with a good foundation. Now, Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49 talk about this. Read it with me as I read it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus says, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the streams broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Verse 49, but the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. When the streams broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Now, I believe this simple passage, these words that Jesus gave us, this minute speech that he gave to a number of people, shows us exactly what a strong foundation of a true disciple is. There's three things I would say if you're writing things down. Our foundation is Jesus. Our foundation is Jesus' word, the Bible. And our foundation is obedience to his word. Let's look at these three really quickly. First, our foundation is Jesus. Look at verse 47 again. He says, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. Did you notice what Jesus said? He said, it starts, everyone who comes to me, it starts by coming to him. That's where it begins. The foundation of your Christian life, the foundation of your existence, the foundation of being a disciple, it's all about coming to Jesus. Paul says it even a little more significantly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Stay in Luke and let me just read this to you. 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Paul is saying Jesus is the foundation, period. Now, I have to tell you, I love being a part of a church. I love being a part of this church. I loved our worship time together today. I love being in a small group setting with you. I love this church. But church cannot be your foundation. It was never intended to be. I love serving others. I love giving. I like to be a part of that, to be able to bless others. But the reality is, acts of kindness cannot be your foundation for your walk with Christ. I love advancing the kingdom of God through missions. I love the fact that we have a heart for missions locally and abroad, but missions cannot be the foundation of your walk with Christ. Listen, you have to have a radical, transforming encounter with the living God as your foundation. A radical,
transforming encounter with Jesus. My fear is that a number of people think attending church, repeating a prayer with the pastor, getting some goosebumps when you sing a song just the right way that you like, that somehow those are signs of Jesus. Friends, if I don't mean to be crass, but I want to be honest. I could make you have goosebumps or cry by showing you a Super Bowl commercial, certain ones. And the reality is, I could say the right words to make you feel bad enough that you'd want to repeat a prayer after me if I asked. And the truth is, I could share enough verses and ideas that could leave someone who's here today thinking that the most important thing you'll do all week is attend church. When the reality is, it's important, but it's not the most important thing you will do all week. So here's what I would say. If you have not been radically transformed by Jesus, then the reality is you have a good facade, but a false foundation. So let me ask, is your life transformed because of Jesus? I didn't say, do you have a habit of attending church? Plenty of people could attend church and not know Jesus. I didn't say, do you do nice things for others? I know people who do not know Jesus who do nice things for others. What I said, has your life been radically transformed by an encounter with Jesus? If not, you can receive him today. We'll talk about that in just a moment. He can change your life. So our foundation is Jesus. And then Luke chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians 3 also tell us our foundation is Jesus' word. It's the Bible. Look back at Luke 6:47 again. He says, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. What's it saying? A sure foundation is being built on hearing Jesus' words. It's been built on receiving Jesus' words. It's because of that we have the sure foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, or 11, excuse me, Paul says this, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will be manifest. For the day will disclose it, capital D, meaning it's the day when the Lord returns, will disclose how you built your house. And it says, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. So think about this. Paul lays out three types of material that do not last, wood, hay, and straw. Three types of material that do last. He says stone, precious stones, gold and silver. They will last. And so he's sharing with us that there's two ways to build your foundation in this regard. He's describing the fact that we are to put our foundation with things that will last for eternity. Of course, that's Jesus, but it's also Jesus' word. It's God's word. The scripture is clear that the word of God will stand forever. God's word is where our foundation should lie. So it's God's word, God's truth, the truth of God's word, and the power of God's word that will last forever. Here's the reality, as blunt as I can be. You cannot be a disciple who makes disciples without regular, healthy, transforming diet of God's word. Let me say it again. You cannot be a disciple who makes disciples without a regular, healthy, transforming diet of God's word. That seems like a pretty bold statement to say, but let me just double down in this way. You will never be the disciple. You will never see the fulfillment in life that God's called you to have without a regular, consistent diet in God's word. That may seem harsh to say, but I'm convinced that clarity is kindness, and I want to be clear with you. If you're not consistent in God's word, you will not be able to live the fulfilled life that God has for you. How do I know? I've been there. I've been consistent, and I have been inconsistent. I have been committed and disciplined, and I have been undisciplined. And the reality is, I've seen what the New Testament teaches laid bare in my life, and that is when I have a healthy diet of God's word, it is the power by which we move and breathe and live and serve him. And I promise that I'm going to always try to preach a message that centers on the word of God, but I, as the pastor, in case you were wondering, I can't give you a regular healthy diet of God's word. I'm not
able to do that. Why? Because I only speak to you on Sundays. We all need more than one meal a week. So if you're writing things down, here's three statements for you. Number one, we must build a daily habit of reading God's word, a daily habit. Then second, we must build a regular habit of studying God's word, a daily habit of reading, a regular, maybe weekly habit of studying. What does studying mean? Studying is more than just opening your Bible and reading a passage. That's good, and we should read God's word daily for information, for transformation, for application. But the truth is, we also, the scripture would teach us to take time on a regular basis to go a little deeper, like going treasure hunting, to get out your tools and resources and mine down deep to have a greater study of the context and understanding of the scripture. It was Charles Swindoll, and I'm going to mess this up, I have a feeling, but let me try, who said it this way: the scripture does not yield its treasure to lazy minds. How does it word it? The basic idea is, if we're not serious about digging for it, all we'll get is the basic truth. We won't get the deep treasures. There's more God has for us from his word. So we need a habit of studying his word. And then lastly, we have a daily habit of reading, a regular habit of studying, and then we must build a lifestyle of memorizing God's word. Now, I'll talk about that one in a second. Before I do, let me say this. If you're here today, if you're participating online, if you're listening on the radio, and you say, Chris, that sounds good. I want to read God's word every day. Where do I start? In the beginning? In the middle? Where? Or what do I do? How much am I to read? A whole chapter? Two chapters? Three? What am I supposed to read? And then some of us may say, I'm already reading God's word, but I really want to study more. I want to dig deeper. So maybe you have some techniques of how to study, but you'd like to know a little better how to study a little deeper. We've put together a resource we'd love to send you of how to use 5 or 6 simple questions that you can use when you read God's word, along with a couple of resources in your Bible, and it will help you dig deeper and take it and find the context and understanding and what God is saying. If you would like a copy of those resources, we will either email them to you or get a printed copy in the mail to you, but we need to know. So here's what we'll ask you to do. It doesn't matter if you've been following Jesus for 50 years and you would like to just have a brush up on studying God's word a little more, or if you're a brand new person who's seeking after Jesus, but you've never read a Bible at all. We'll give you a Bible too, by the way. Here's what you can do. Let us know if you want more of these resources. The way you do that, that same phone number we use for all of our texting, 256-322-6100, text the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. You guys know the psalm? The B-I-B-L-E. Text Bible to that number, 256-322-6100. Follow what it says, and I will connect with you to see what resources you want, and we will get those to you in the next couple of days to help you dig a little deeper. There's some great tools we have available. We'd love to pass them on to you to equip you to study on your own. Don't think for a moment you can't do that. You can. If you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and the Holy Spirit and God's word is what you need, and some basic principles and steps to know how to study, we can help you. So text that word Bible, 256-322-6100. You can do it now. You can do it at the end. We'll talk about it again a little later. So reading God's word, studying God's word, but let's take a second to talk about memorizing God's word. Now, I already know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, Chris, I'm too old to memorize anything anymore. Some of you are thinking, Chris, I'm too busy to memorize anything anymore. And some of you are thinking, Chris, my brain is too fuzzy for me to be able to memorize anything anymore. And what I would say to every last one of you is that's not true. You can do it. Your brain has amazing capacity to hold things, to call it up when needed. You know so much useless things, just like I do. It's crazy. So when it comes to useful things, we can do it. We can do it. I'll give you an example. I've done this before when we've talked about scripture memory. Let me do it again. I'm going to put an image up on the screen, and when we do, I want you to think about the song that goes with it. You can help me sing it. We won't really sing them all, but just a little bit maybe. Here's the first one. It's fitting for today, Valentine's Day. What is this from? So the love boat. So some of y'all can enjoy. Not many of y'all. Happy Valentine's to you, whatever. But anyway, but you get it. Some of you are too young to know that. That's okay. This is for the older people to know they can memorize things, okay? Some of them were too embarrassed to say that they watched The Love Boat and they didn't want to admit that in church. It's okay. All right, the next slide is this. How many remember this? I remember growing up watching this on TV. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm a bill. And I'm sitting on Capitol Hill. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I wish that guy was in Congress, okay, right now. But anyway, I'd vote for him, I'm pretty sure. Okay, the next one, the Brady Bunch. You know the song. We won't sing it, but you know it. You can put it in your mind right now. The last one, Gilligan's Island. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful trip. You know it? You know, I learned as a teenager, it was a fun thing we did in our youth group. We would take the song Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The weather started. I'm just kidding. We didn't combine it that way. But you can learn the song that way. The idea is you know so much useless information. You know things that really don't matter. And the truth is none of that up there matters. But I'll tell you, you can memorize. You can. Your brain is sharp. God has gifted you to do so. He wouldn't have commanded you to do so if you couldn't do it. And the scripture's pretty clear that we are to take God's word into our heart. And I don't know about you, but if you have a true understanding as you read through it, you can't take it into your heart and hide it there if it hasn't passed through your brain through memory. That's how we do so. I can tell you this whole Bible's in my heart, but this whole Bible's in this Bible. What's in my heart is what I have treasured, grabbed a hold of, took to heart, took to memory. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to apply today's message by committing to memorize a passage of Scripture in the next 7 days. We can do it. We're going to do it together. I picked one that I don't have memorized either, so that we can learn it together. It's one that with a discipleship group I'm a part of on Wednesdays, we almost memorized it. We changed to something else, so we're safe to do this one. None of us have learned it yet either. But the scripture is Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Why that passage? Because that is the description of why God's word should be memorized in your life to begin with. So let me read it to you right now. It says this: Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The law, the word of God. Then look what he says next. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in all that he does, he prospers. What does that mean? It's saying to us that when we take in God's word, when we meditate and delight and memorize God's word, when we put it in our lives, we are like a tree planted by water. It's going to survive whatever circumstances come our ways. Drought, heat, it doesn't matter. We've got roots that go down deep into God's word. So my question is, will you take my challenge? Will you memorize this with me? My goal is to take the next 6 days before next Sunday to come in here together and memorize Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Now, if you prefer to memorize things in King James, memorize that translation. This is the ESV, whatever works for you, but memorize Psalm 1, 1 through 3, so that you too can make a renewed commitment to be a tree planted by a stream, to know that God will prosper our lives. And I don't mean he'll give you every desire that you have. What I'm saying is your life will survive. You will be able to move forward. You will see the strength even in drought. God will do a work in you through the memorization of his word. Psalm 119:11 says, Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So I want to encourage you, if you really want to hide something in your heart, the only way to do it is to memorize it. So will you make a renewed commitment like I'm making today? Because the truth is, I've not done a really good job at memorizing. In fact, the guys that I meet with on Wednesday nights, I meet with I don't guess it's a secret, right? Is it okay to say your name, Cody? I'm just kidding. So I meet with Cody Nix and Nathan Haskew and Mike Williams. And Mike's out of town today, so he won't hear this. So I'm going to talk about him for a second. When we decided we would memorize scripture, I really thought you know, we'll all take this serious, but he's always joking and always got something kind of smart-alecky to say. I love his personality, but he does. Those of you that know him know that. So I thought, he's not going to memorize this first. And so I thought, we made a little deal. We said, whoever memorizes this passage we came up with first, the rest of us will buy him a steak dinner. I thought, okay, that's a good motivation for one of us. I really thought I would be the one that got the free steak dinner. And so we came back the next week, and the truth is, I hadn't memorized mine. Somebody gave it a try and didn't get all the way through it. And then Mike gives his little smirky grin, and he just reads the whole, he just quotes the whole passage just like that. Now, I don't know if his motive was steak or Jesus, but he got it, okay? And the truth is, he memorized it. And the reality is, for us, while we've been investing in each other in some scripture, the truth is, it's important, and you can do it. And so whatever motivation you need, I'm not promising you a steak dinner. And there's not going to be a test, by the way, but I will promise you this. If you will memorize, take the opportunity to do it, it will be life-changing. Because the times in my life where I've been faithful to take in God's word in my heart, God has used that to renew me and used it in a powerful way. And the times where I have refused to do it by just simply being too lazy and not doing it, it has always affected me in a negative way. I've not walked in the same power. That's my story. So I want to encourage you, walk in that. Walk in the renewing of your mind through the word of God. You can do it. You can memorize it. This will be useful. So help me do that. Make a commitment to do so together. So our foundation is Jesus. Our foundation is God's word, Jesus' word. And then lastly, really quickly, our foundation is obedience to his word. Look back at Luke 6:47 again. Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the streams broke against the house but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell and the ruin of the house was great. Did you notice it says they both heard the scripture? They both heard Jesus' words. Only one of them lived it out, and that was his foundation, and the other one didn't, and his house broke away. So what's that teaching us? It's not just about taking in God's word. It is about a decision to walk in obedience to God's word, to do what we have learned. So to wrap things up today, can I ask you, what about your foundation in your life? First of all, do you have the foundation of Jesus? Have you been radically transformed by an encounter with him? Not have you attended a church, not have you signed up and been a member. Have you been radically transformed by Jesus? Examine the fruit in your life. And if you don't see fruit of radical transformation, give your life to him today. He doesn't say, well, you've been pretending for years, so I'm done with you. No. Listen, have you read the prodigal son story? Realize that he will welcome you with open arms. God the Father provides grace and mercy for you today. Give your life to him. If you've never given your life to him right now, just say, Jesus, I need you. I commit my life to you. I need you to radically transform me. Make me into a follower of you. Ask him to do that in your life. He will. But not only do we build our foundation on Jesus, we build it on his word. So my question is simple. Is the center of your growth in Christ based off of God's word, or is the majority of your growth in Christ based off a Sunday morning worship experience here? The reality is, I'm so glad that you participate in worship, but this cannot be the majority of your growth. It's just not enough. So my prayer is that you will dig down deep into God's word, that you will read it consistently, but take some time to study it as well. A renewed commitment, a daily habit of reading, a regular habit of studying, and then a consistent lifestyle of memorizing. So again, if you want those helps that we have for you, that we can send you a few documents to help you, and I'll be glad to help along the way with your studying part of that, just text the word Bible to 256-322-6100 or stop by the welcome desk and give somebody your name when we're done. We can help you with that. But for the rest of us, let's commit to memorize together Psalm 1, 1 through 3. And then lastly, we take that step of obedience, where we say, God, I will live out what I learn. I will live it out, and I will start today. How do you start today? Luke chapter 6 is what we read. It says to build your life on a foundation by reading and doing it. So you want to apply that. You go home. You spend some time on your own in God's word and do what it says. I encourage you to begin. Don't overcomplicate it. One step at a time. Obedience is the next step in the right direction. You can do it. I believe in you. Let's pray together. Father God, my prayer is that I would again renew my commitment to your word. Lord, nothing earth-shattering in what we've talked about today, but there's such truth that we see in this passage in Luke and this passage in 1 Corinthians. What Jesus and Paul said makes so much sense to us, that Jesus is our foundation, that his word is our foundation, that living out the application of the word is our foundation. God, may we not overcomplicate it. May we simply hide your word in our heart through memorization. May we simply read and then make a decision to live out what we read. And Father, may we be committed to take some time every once in a while, every few days, every week, whatever the case may be, to sit down and practice the spiritual discipline of studying your word, to mine down a little deeper for the treasures of you. God, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you that it is living and active, sharper than the double-edged sword, as we read in Hebrews. God, I thank you that you will use your word to meet every person in this room, every person who's listening, where they are, because it is alive. You can use it to transform them. So God, may we turn to you. And Lord, my prayer is that we'll return next week with 150 people having memorized three verses together in Psalms. What an accomplishment of unity. What an opportunity for us to grow deeper in your word and application. God, may we be like that tree planted by the river of life, your word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to open your word today. Continue to make us into the disciples you've called us to be. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.